Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa's here screening calls. We're going to be doing a recorded hour tonight, so if you're listening online and you want to join us, there's still time to grab a line. Pick up your phone, dial 347-884-8327, and once you're on that call, go ahead and press 1 on your phone. It's always easier to get through in the beginning of the show. Right now, the calls are pretty light, questions are pretty light. What usually happens is towards the middle to the end of the show, it starts to get heavier, and then we run out of time, and I don't get a chance to get everybody. So, again, if you're listening to us online and you want to join us live on the call, pick up the phone and dial 347-884-8327. Once you're on that call, press 1. Lisa will screen your call, and we're going to do a recorded hour, so it's all questions and answers tonight. This is your chance to get through. Let's go ahead and get started on those calls. Good evening, and welcome to the show. I'm Kevin Rutherford, and this is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. I'm here tonight and every night to improve your bottom line and make you more successful. We talk about the things that are important to you, your business, your money, your life, and your success. Thanks for joining me, allowing me to ride along with you for an hour tonight. I consider it my mission on this show to bring you the very latest information to help you be more successful, make more money, save more money, and avoid scams and ripoffs. We can talk about trucks, money, retirement accounts, fuel mileage, maintenance, health insurance, technology, taxes, financial planning, current events, politics, or anything else you'd like to bring to the show. The website is letstruck.com. The important stuff, well, that's your phone calls, so let's just jump right into them tonight. Let's start off in Tennessee. Harold, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. How are you doing this lovely day?
Doing wonderful. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, you getting any snow up there yet?
You know what? I used to think that Tennessee was in the South and that the South didn't get very much snow, but every time I've been to Tennessee in the last 3 months, it snows while I'm here.
Yep. And it's drove by there, and it's starting to snow out. So I figured I had to ask you that.
Yeah, it's just been crazy. It's been snowing almost every day since we've been here this week.
All right. Hey, I got two questions for you. One is picking a state for your base plate. Like, if you're planning on moving, where would you move to be the cheapest for your base plate and all that sort of stuff, getting your business set up?
Well, set aside the base plate because I don't know that the base plate really matters, and half the time we get base plates in states we don't live in. And so truck registration and base plating, that one's a little more complicated. So you're saying if we were going to move and we wanted to take everything into consideration, like taxes and that kind of stuff?
Yep.
Okay. Certainly, it would be to one of the states without a state income tax. I would like a state that is more small business friendly, and probably the first one that comes to mind for me as far as that goes is Texas. You know, you've got Tennessee, no state income tax, Florida with no state income tax, Nevada or Washington. There's a couple other little ones, but I think probably overall for small business friendly and lowest taxes overall, I might be looking at Texas or Florida.
All right. And another question, okay, like the company I'm leased to right now, okay, the company more or less treats my wife as a company driver. Then would it be wiser to have her pay up there relatively high to cover the income tax on both of us, or keep it low than pay the quarterly?
You know, it's easier when you've got somebody on payroll to have the payroll tax come out every week and have enough come out every week to cover both and not have to mess around with it. And there's an easy way to do this. Sometimes people get all crazy and they try to figure out, you know, exemptions and change the W-4. All you really have to do is if you have a reasonable idea of how much tax you want to cover, just divide it out by the number of pay periods and you go right to your employer and say, look, take out $75 every pay period. We don't have to try to calculate it by exemptions and all that other stuff. We just tell them a dollar amount, and the employer is required to hold out that dollar amount and send it in for federal income tax.
All right, because like what it goes by is, okay, like she gets paid by the mileage. Then the company drivers, right, figure they get 34 cents a mile or thereabouts for certain pay. So, but the maximum that they'll allow me to pay her is 25 cents a mile. Then I figure, well, if it's 30 cents a mile split, then hey, give her the whole 34 cents. That will cover her income and my income. Then we should be either getting a little bit or something back at the end, or I'm hoping not too much, though. But
yeah. No, and it's not an exact science. Probably the best way to do it would be to get your tax return done early this year and then have your accountant figure out the amount that should be withheld each pay period and just have that withheld as a dollar amount.
Right. But when they figure up the tax, they take, okay, like I got it set on 25 cents. Okay, then 4.5 cents of that per diem, then that 20.5 cents is her regular wages, then the tax is taken out of that.
Right, and they're going to withhold roughly enough tax to cover that amount, but then you could go in and say, I also want you to withhold X number of dollars each pay period on top of that.
All right, that'll work. So we'll try getting our taxes done as soon as possible, and then if we had to make any adjustments, we can do that.
Yep,
all right,
that's
well, thank
the
you,
best. Yeah, you're welcome. That's a great way to do it. I mean, it's really easier than messing around with estimates and the sending in the checks and the forms. Not that it's a big deal, but if you have, and this really goes for anybody with a working spouse. Now, what happens a lot of times is, you know, you both have to understand that lowers the amount of take-home pay, obviously, from the spouse, and sometimes that becomes an issue because somebody goes to work and their check gets smaller and smaller because it's being sent in for taxes. But, I mean, ultimately, you're going to pay them anyway, so it is sometimes an easier way to do it. Now, I'll tell you, The other advantage to it is many times if people set the tax aside and then pay it quarterly, there's always that temptation when something goes wrong to dip into that money and try to make it up later. And when you have an employer withhold it, you can't do that. So that you know your taxes are going to get covered. So it is definitely a good idea and another way to do that. Let's go to Tennessee. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. What can I help you with this evening?
Oh, I'm just kind of wondering about fuel mileage. I've called you a couple times. I don't know if you remember. I was talking about buying a 05 Century Class with that Eaton Fuller 10-speed automatic in it.
Okay.
I don't know if that rings a bell at all or not. But anyway,
yeah,
I bought the truck. I've had it for just about a month now. Trying to, you know, do the best I can fuel mileage with it and everything like that. And I'm getting about 6 with it now is about
okay.
the best that I can do with it. And that's running right around 58, 60 miles an hour, somewhere in that neighborhood. Seems like it doesn't hardly make sense, but it seems like the closer I run to around 60, it seems like I get a little bit better fuel mileage. And I'm kind of like, you know how that is. Once you get over 60, you kind of blow the whole aerodynamic deal out the window. But at the same time, it seems like I'm getting a little bit better at that point, you know.
60 as opposed to what?
Like 55. 55,
okay.
50.
There's usually two reasons that will happen. And the first one is the one we want to make sure isn't the reason. A leaking charger cooler will cause that to happen. So we definitely want to make sure the charger cooler isn't leaking. The other reason that can happen is just because of the specs, and sometimes especially with that auto shift, there are some engines, and the Detroit is one of them, if we run them at too low of an RPM, sometimes it does hurt fuel economy. And that may be what's going on. That's always a delicate balance between speed and RPM. And one of the ways to test that is to run 55 but drop a gear. It's easy with the 13-speed because we can drop half a gear. With the 10-speed, it's a little more difficult because that full gear jump is sometimes too much. You're kind of stuck in the middle, and sometimes that doesn't work. Really, this setup, what tire size is on here?
This has the 295.25s on it.
Okay. This setup really isn't good for running 55. Now, normally,
right.
the slower we go, the better things get, but this one's geared too tall to really be running at 55. So I could see, we do want to double-check that charger cooler, though. Make sure that is not leaking. And if we still get better fuel economy at 60, it could be the gearing on this. You could try 55 at 9th if you wanted to run that slow and see what happens. But ultimately, if you wanted to run less than 60, we may end up having to do a gear change, and it wouldn't be the first thing I would recommend. There's so many other things we could do first to improve fuel economy. I've got to get to a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right. We are doing a recorded hour tonight. And I'll tell you, tonight might be your chance to get through. We're actually very light on questions tonight. The phone lines themselves are starting to fill up, but if you're listening online, still have a chance to get through. 347-884-8327. If you are on the call, you've got a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all you want to talk about, tonight might be the night. Calls are pretty light. As a matter of fact, since we were planning on a recorded hour, if we run out of questions tonight, we'll probably just wrap it up, and I'll finish recording after the show. So if you've got a question, a comment, a topic, you want to jump in, there's lots of room right now. Press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will screen those calls, and we'll get to them here during the recording. Let's go ahead and get back to that. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rumsford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. The website is letstruck.com. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. Let's go this time to Florida. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin.
I got a couple
of quick questions for you. And as long as I'm online, I can promise you we'll never run out of questions because I've always got a list of them for you. But
okay,
anyway, a couple of them for you this evening. I've got an LPS system on both of my trucks. The full flow filter, my driver was telling me that he had heard you say that you normally only change yours like once every 6 months.
Yeah, you know, most of the time OPS recommends that you do it every other filter change, which is okay. Can't hurt to do it that way. I find, though, that filter and my samples do just fine if I just mark it on the calendar and replace it about every 6 months.
Okay. All righty. Yeah, I've been doing mine about every other oil sample, but I may start to extend that out a little bit.
Well, you know, if we look at now the 10-inch EcoPure filter with a 25,000-mile change, if you go every other, it's about 50,000 anyway, which for a lot of people is starting to push that six-month mark. So it's pretty close either way.
Right, right, right. We run a lot of miles. But okay. Next question. I've got an 02 Freightliner with a Detroit motor and a 500 horsepower. I just got the engine in framed, did the bull gear, the whole nine yards. This turbo has a wastegate on it. I did not change the turbo. The turbo actually was put on about a year ago before I bought the truck. But anyways, what's your opinion on blocking off the wastegate, plugging the line off?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. You know, I keep meaning to talk to Bruce about this. I think we've brought it up a couple times, and he would rather see, you know, a non-wastegated turbo, obviously. I think the danger is sometimes it makes that turbo easier to overspeed.
Okay.
You just have to be a little more conscious of how you're driving it and what you're doing. Unfortunately, the wastegate is just a giant compromise. It was just a simple way for the manufacturer to only produce one turbo for a whole range of horsepower and engines. And you know, we end up with the one thing we absolutely don't want on a turbocharged engine, which is a big exhaust leak.
Exactly. Right. Before I actually had it in framed, I did block it off. I just crimped the line off for like a couple of weeks. I'll be honest with you, the truck actually seemed to run better with it blocked off.
I think it does, and you know, as long as you're careful about driving it, it'll probably be just fine.
Yeah, I'm very conscious about how I drive, so somebody had mentioned that something about it may cause the turbo to heat up or something like that, but, I mean, I'm pretty conscious about how I drive.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
Right. Okay. One other question for you, if you got time. When I in-framed this motor, I did not change the injectors. What I did is I took them to Nozzle Master in Orlando and had them bench test them and reseal them, you know, put new O-rings on the internal side of the injectors.
Okay.
Do you think I made a mistake doing that? You think I should have changed them? I had like 1.3 million miles on the motor.
Do we know how many miles are on the injectors?
Yeah, I think they were the original injectors. I'm quite sure anyway. Yeah, and that's the Nozzle Master said they see injectors coming in there with a lot more miles than that. They said, we'll bench test them. put new O-rings in them and, you know, test them out. And if basically if they're good, they're good. If they're bad, they're bad. I don't
know. You know, that there is some truth to that, and they are the ones that see it. And I know I've had injectors go that far. Normally, if I've gotten them that far, I will replace them. But if they looked at them, tested them, you know, resealed them. And the other thing that you have working in your favor there is with the OPS, you are sampling. And if we do start to have an injector problem, you're going to pick up on it early. So this may work out just fine.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it does anyway. You know, saved a little bit. I went ahead and I put the Pittsburgh Power vibration damper and the balancer on, which I'm real happy with. I'm thinking I may go ahead and put the power box on here eventually. They said I would probably pick up at least a half a gallon if I did put that on, or half a mile.
Yeah, you know, as long as you keep that thing at three or less and you drive it the way you were saying, and it does improve fuel economy at that range. It's one of those things that, you know, I've got to be very careful. Sometimes people put it on and they call me back a couple months later and they're wondering why their fuel economy went down. And I know why it goes down. Slowly over time, they get used to that power and they start using it more and more often. And when we produce more horsepower, we are going to burn more fuel unless we do it really wisely. Now, if we keep that at one or two, what happens there is the engine just runs so much better. You know, the settings are so much better. We're releasing fuel earlier. Better throttle response, and if you drive it wisely, you will see that fuel mileage improvement, as well as the truck just being more enjoyable to drive. And as long as you keep up with that, the fuel economy gain will be there.
Right. Yeah, the one thing I wasn't sure of, see, I actually run the same roads as your drivers do. I'm up and down 95 from Savannah to West Palm. I know you guys go to Orlando, but we're up and down 95 back and forth every day. You know, there's not really any hills to speak of. Would the power box be effective?
I don't think you're going to see that half mile per gallon. I looked at it for my trucks, and I still want to test it in that operation. I looked at it at one time and decided not to, just because I as light as we are and as flat as that is, you know, and I talked to Bruce, and he said, hey, we're probably not going to see the kind of fuel mileage gains we normally see. But if I get time, I want to test it and see if we can get, you know, even if we could pick up a couple tenths over the long run, in my situation where I've done so many other things to the truck and I'm looking for one more way, it would be worth it in the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah, a couple times over a prolonged period of time, it definitely adds up.
Yeah, you know, my 2001, we've got it up here in Tennessee now. It's got 1.3 million miles on it. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to in-frame it, recondition the truck, and I'm going to run it, you know, more than likely to 2 million. So it doesn't take a whole lot to pay for things when you keep trucks that long.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, one last quick question, if you don't mind. I've got to put some tires on this truck pretty shortly. I've got 355 rears. It's got tall rubber 24.5s on it right now. I'm thinking of putting 24.5 low pros with the Detroit 500 with the 355 rears, 13-speed. Should I go to low pro 24.5? I don't want to change the rims to 22.5s. I don't really want to get into the cost of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, normally I would ask what speed you're running, but I'm going to assume you're not running more than 70 most of the time. So the low pros would be a big improvement.
Yep. Okie dokie.
I would much rather see the low pro 22.5s. And what you may want to look around for is a swap deal. Many, many times I've seen people switch to a 22.5 at almost no cost on the rims. Just find somebody that wants to swap.
Really? Yeah, that's an idea.
Yeah, there are an awful lot of 22.5 rims around, and sometimes you can do it pretty darn cheap.
Okay, you think that it'd be, I'd see a pretty big difference in the fuel mileage by going down to 22.5?
Yeah, the advantage is sometimes the very best tires for fuel economy are only available in the Low Pro 22.5.
Gotcha. That was going to be the next thing I was going to ask. Are the 24 Low Pro XDA3s, XDA3 Energy? That's what you usually recommend, right?
The drive tire is the XDA Energy, X-Ray Delta Alpha Energy. And I keep saying I'm going to create a tire chart so I can look this stuff up quick, but it always gets pushed down on my priority list. And I can't ever remember which tire is available and which size. But
right.
The XDA is the best dual drive tire on the market. It's actually lower rolling resistance than the XZA3, the all-position tire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll check into all that.
Yeah, check the size and look around. Like I say, there are a lot of 22.5 rims around, and many times you can find a pretty good deal to just get those swapped out. Actually, those two tires I just mentioned are so close in rolling resistance that you virtually can't tell it in fuel economy. We're only talking a couple points apart, which makes that XDA a great great choice for a lug-style drive tire. I've got to get to a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. The website is letstruck.com. Let's get right back to some phone calls. We're off to Arkansas this time. Norman, welcome to the program.
Do you have a time frame on when you plan to try out the power box of one of your trucks?
No, I don't, because we've just had so much stuff going on with the trucks that we haven't really been testing a whole lot. Like right now, we've got one of them up here. We're going to be doing, you know, an in-frame and a complete recondition on the truck. So that one's out of service for a while. And when it does come back, I've got to get it through the break-in period. So now I'm down to two trucks we can test with. And we were in the middle of a test on one thing, and we had we had to run the overhead on it. We had a problem there. So I really can't say. I would like to get to it in the first half of this year, but that's about the best I can tell you.
Yeah, you know, the idea of basically plugging in a half mile per gallon increase, that just sounds almost too good to be true, you know?
Well, you know, in a typical over-the-road operation, that's not out of the question at all with the power box. That's pretty normal. My question really is, if you're not putting the engine under enough demand, will we see those kind of increases? And I don't think we will. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be able to pull a half mile per gallon, but I might be able to pick up a couple tenths. And again, if we have that information, then we could say, okay, it may not be one of the first couple things we do, but when we get down to really tweaking, it might be worth it. So it's hard to say. It's like in my operation, many times we'll say, if you've got a charger cooler that's blown out and it's not holding any pressure, you could see a half mile per gallon improvement from replacing it. I had two of them last year blown out so bad, neither one of them, they were original, wouldn't hold any pressure. And when we replaced them, we only picked up a couple tenths, not the big jump we normally see. Because, again, when you're not putting that engine under the load, the charger cooler isn't as important.
I see. Yeah. Hey, the reason I called, I want to ask you a question. What's more important, responsibility or freedom?
You can't really have one without the other.
Good answer. I see them as the same thing, just looking at it at two different angles.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of our problem is that, you know, in order to have the freedoms we want, it requires that we're responsible. My take has always been, you know, we're a nation of freedom, which is a huge part of what we were founded on. We're also a nation of laws, and I'm certainly not anti-law at all. In fact, I'm very pro-law. We're a nation of laws, and it works very well if you stick to it, meaning that we have laws, and we give people freedom. Well, we used to. That was the idea. That was the concept, and it worked very well. If you break those laws, you are held responsible, and that's how the system should work. And when we start to move away from holding people responsible or our laws get out of control, I mean, it's ridiculous how many laws we passed, then that's when freedoms start to disappear.
Yeah, your freedom to swing your fist ends at the tip of my nose.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's where the laws come in, and that the government's job is, a big part of it is to protect us from each other. But now we have a government that spends far too much time trying to protect us from ourselves. That's the problem. Can't do it, and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's when we lose our freedoms.
Yeah, I know the FMCSA and the laws and the policemen and the way stations are all no good, terrible, dirty, rotten government people. But the only thing worse than all of that is the mom who's standing there in front of Congress and saying, "All my family was killed because a truck driver was driving for 33 hours straight and dozed off at the wheel." That's the only thing worse than the government.
Yeah, you're right, and that's when the special interest groups start using the government to get what they want. Let's see. Let's go to Chicago. Matt, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Kevin.
Good evening. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you had a caller earlier asked about the flow filter for your oil with the OPS on.
Right.
And I've come up with a system that, I got the original, the OPS 1, but if I switch to the Echo Pure and the 10-inch filter, you'd have a 25,000-mile filter on the OPS.
Right.
And the way I run things is at 25,000 miles, I change all my filters, my fuel filters, the flow, and I actually have a filter on my transmission. And then the second time around, 25,000 miles later, I sample my rear ends, my transmission, and my antifreeze. So,
okay.
All the filters are on 50,000, all my samples are on 50,000 for everything except for the engine oil.
That's a really nice schedule, actually. I like that.
The engine oil, the OPS filter, and the engine oil sample 25, and then every other 25 I do either the fuel filters or I sample the rear end and the transmission.
Yeah, that's a really good schedule. You know, if you stick to that, you would eliminate a lot of issues. I mean, we'd have a really good history on all the components. You'll catch things really early, and that's just a nice way to remember it and keep things working smoothly.
Yeah, so that's so I'm at 5,000 on my full flow. And, you know, now I've added another one, too, the fleet air filters. And so every 50,000, I'll pull them out and wash them and re-oil them.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Everything I keep adding just seems to fall right in them cycles. So it's getting easier and easier.
Yeah, we need to get that down in writing. I'm actually looking for ideas like that for the boot camp, the maintenance boot camp coming up. And, by the way, we have dates now.
Yep. Yeah, Lisa was telling me about that. She said it's mandatory that I'm there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll definitely get that on the calendar.
Perfect. We'll look forward to it.
All right.
All right.
Be up against the breaker.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say how I thought it was pretty amazing with the swearing in of our 112th Congress. For the first time ever, they read the whole Constitution.
Yeah, you know what? And I missed it, too. We have been swamped. We're here in Tennessee, and we're scrambling to try to get a truck built, and I'm really hoping we get it done tomorrow before lunch. I think the only thing left is to finish installing the two Bose Ride systems. We were finishing up some wiring in the bases, so I hope we get that done. But I missed it. I'm sure I'll be able to find it somewhere because I want to see it.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it live. I just heard them talking about it on the news, and I think that's something they should do every other year. Every time they
absolutely
swear the new Congress in.
Yeah,
It took 85 minutes, I believe they said.
Yeah, it's a very good reminder. And after some of the comments we heard, mostly I recall during the healthcare debate, it's painfully obvious that many politicians forgot what the Constitution is. So it's a nice reminder to see that being done.
Yeah. Well, I like that one. Some videos we did quite a ways back about, I don't remember the guy's name, but out of Illinois somewhere, and they videotaped him on YouTube that he was saying, I don't care about the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'd like to see it. I think if I get a chance, probably not going to happen this week, but I would like to hear that. I do have to get to a break now, so stick around. We've got more stuff coming right around the corner. You're on the Road Dog Sirius 147 XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. Let's get right back to some phone calls. Let's go to Ohio. Lance, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin. The swearing in of the reading of the Constitution today I thought was fantastic, and it's something I'm surprised hadn't been done before. Not only did a lot of them Congress people, I bet, haven't heard it read or read it in a long time. I bet there was a lot of American people that were flipping through the channels and like, what's this? What are they reading?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's not something we see enough of, so I think that was fantastic.
Right, yeah, that's something they take an oath to uphold and protect, so I think it should be read in before they're sworn in. But I had a question on your boot camp, what the dates were for it. You said you finally got dates, or are you putting those out there yet?
Yeah, we are. It is May 20th and 21st.
May 20th and 21st. Okay.
Yes.
Write that down here. All right. You guys have a cost on it yet?
No, we don't. I am I'm still putting together the we're obviously going to have to limit the number of people, so I'm trying to lay out the agenda and how we're going to flow and what all is going to be a part of it. And as soon as we get that done, we'll get the price. I'm thinking in the $250 or less range, but that's certainly not set in stone yet.
Oh, okay, beautiful. Well, I'm just curious. You know, anytime you can find any info on anything, I'd definitely like to have it so I can share it with others. And I also want to know if I can tell you about a program that we're trying to push over for Trucker Charity Inc., if you got a minute.
Sure, go ahead.
One of the things that we're doing this year is to try to raise our capital. We just got done with our tax year for 2011 and put in our numbers to the IRS, got that done, and we did our budget. And this year, 20% of all capital raised is going to the Let's Truck Christmas Group all year long. And one of the things that we're doing to try to bring in more donations is we're trying to get people to realize, you know, when you got a $20 bill in your pocket and you want to give a charity $5, that's very noticeable because you're left with $15. But if you can come to, like, you can go to our website, truckercharity.org, and you could sign up to make a $5 a month donation. Every month, $5 is automatically hit your debit card, credit card, whatever. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. It's like a 401k. It's $5. It's one sub sandwich a month. It does a lot of work. Really does.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You think about it,
and it stays in the industry, which is something we do need to do.
Yeah, and, you know, when you got things like you have 1% of, let's say, the Let's Truck website, 1%, that'd be $18,000 to help a nonprofit charity that helps truck drivers. And that's kind of what we're trying to get. You know, it's great. We got people to make huge, large donations, but all of it helps. And just $5 a month, people, it's kind of like the compounding of a 401k. That's what we're wanting to do. And we're also wanting to let people know that we got the Chrome Alert is active. And what it is if you go to our site and get more info, but when someone has a missing driver or missing piece of equipment, they can send the info, they can email it to lance@truckercharity.org, and people opt in to get the to get alerts sent right, to text message right to them for what we're looking for. You know, a missing truck, here's the license plate number, here's the details. That way it's right in the palm of your hand when we're looking for it. And
that's
that's kind of what we've been working on, some of this stuff here. And I just wanted to let you know and see what you thought and try to get people, let them know. They come to our website, truckercharity.org. They could opt in to subscribe for $5 a month. That's all we're asking for. And also check out Chrome Alert and see about signing up to get those text messages, which is free.
Excellent.
For them.
Excellent. We'll keep everybody informed.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. Good talking to you tonight. Let's go to BC. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Good evening and Happy New Year, Mr. Rutherford.
Happy New Year. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my operation. When I'm on the prairies of Western Canada, I've been hauling 253-footers for the last 3 months. Now, if I only haul one trailer, my fuel surcharge is 28.5 cents a mile, and I get about 6.5 miles per gallon. When I haul the second trailer, I get an extra 40 cents to haul that second trailer, Now, the benefit is these trailers are usually not loaded too heavy. They're around, maybe 15,000 pounds in each trailer. But the problem is there's like 30 tires in total. So that's where I end up losing a lot of my fuel mileage. What do you think about me losing 1.5 miles per gallon but getting the extra 40 cents? I've been buying my fuel at about $4.05 a gallon.
Okay. And you know, we could certainly kind of ballpark it, and it sounds like you would certainly net more. But what I would do is I would run this through a spreadsheet. I would create a quick spreadsheet with the variables in there, because it changes based on what those fuel economy numbers are. It's different if we're getting 7 and we drop to 5.5, or if we're getting 6 and we drop to 4.5. And then the fuel price is going to change that variable as well. It seems to me like, based on fuel prices right now, the surcharge on one trailer is actually pretty low. Now, the 40 cents sounds like a much better deal, the 40 cents on top of the other fuel surcharge. But right now, based on where the fuel price is, the fuel surcharge, the initial fuel surcharge should be about 35 cents. Didn't you say yours was 25?
28.5.
28.5. Okay. It should be about 35 based on where fuel prices are right now. What is your fuel economy with one trailer average, usually?
In the summer, I'm up around 7. This time of year, I'm around 6.5.
Yeah. If it were me, I would be pulling that second trailer.
Yeah. Okay. The only thing I've been thinking of is there should be at least some fuel surcharge on that second trailer. This is the numbers that I came up with. Okay, I make $1.11 without the fuel, like before the fuel surcharge, and I worked out the numbers to see what percentage is the 40 cents of the $1.11. So what I came up with is for that second trailer, I'm getting it's 36% of my rate. So I figured I should be getting about 36% of my fuel surcharge for that second trailer as well. And that would have brought me up an extra dime.
That's why I said I would put this into a spreadsheet to see the fluctuation in that, because without a fuel surcharge, as fuel goes higher, which is what's been happening, that second trailer becomes less and less profitable every time fuel goes up.
Exactly.
Because there's no adjustment for it. So
exactly.
There are going to be times when, yes, it's profitable to pull that second trailer, but we have to be careful and we have to watch it, and we have to know where that break even is, because we don't want to pull that second trailer and only break even. I mean,
exactly.
Why bother? I mean, if there
exactly.
is an extra profit in it, so, and because your fuel mileage fluctuating is going to change the calculation, and the fuel price fluctuating is going to change the calculation, this is one of those areas where I would be tracking this, at least weekly on a spreadsheet, so that I knew, you know, when am I getting close to the point where I just want to say these things aren't worth pulling anymore.
Right, exactly. And another thing I should add is we get absolutely nothing for hooking them up. So out of that 40 cents, is where my extra time involved for hooking them up, going to hook up a dolly converter, you know, and then once I get to the destination, split everything up, put everything away.
You know, this is where spreadsheets really shine, because we could even easily throw in a calculation and say, on a normal day with one trailer, here is my net revenue per hour. So we could do it per mile, but we could also say, here's our net revenue per hour. And when we throw in that second trailer and we have that time, here's what happens to our per hour rate. And now we have two ways to calculate whether or not we want to do this. I'm all out of time. Thanks for joining me. Stick around. Jonesy's coming up next with the all-night truck stop. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM 171. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.